Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
When there's genuinely godly sorrow, it's His kindness and His gift to you to bring you to repentance. Repentance leads to what? Salvation, according to the Word of God. Lip service means nothing when it comes to repentance. Behavior over time describes whether your words mean anything. If you're truly born again, your life will change.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. There's a hidden obstacle we face as we seek to spread the gospel. Today, Pastor Jeff brings our attention to just how important true repentance really is. Learn how to better serve God's kingdom and stand strong in your faith no matter what or who stands against you as we continue a lesson from the book of Exodus about what it takes to be a courageous warrior for God. Before we begin today's lesson, just want to remind you, you can find these messages and catch up on sermons you might have missed at bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's lesson.
God saved you to be a courageous warrior that's on the advancement of the kingdom to let other people know that they need to repent too. That's why you're still alive. That's the gospel, to go into all the world. It's a international ministry that God made us a part of. And you need to know that as an introduction to today's message. Otherwise, as we get into these plagues, you're going to say, here we go again. What's taking Pharaoh so long? Why drag out all these long, boring chapters with 10 plagues? Why didn't Pharaoh repent? For the same reason that you don't either. Because you don't think you're wrong. You don't realize how holy God is. Your heart's not tender enough before Him to allow Him to change you. And so what we're seeing in Pharaoh is what sometimes we see in our own hearts. And what we're seeing in Moses is what we need to be aware of as we continually confront and the challenges of confronting people to repent. I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 9 and 10. One of the challenges of being a courageous warrior is that a courageous warrior warns the unrepentant repeatedly. Now, there's already been several plagues that have taken place. You would think, even though Pharaoh's not repenting, like maybe he would just get this right. And God's given him enough signs already. I'm done with this guy. And yet that's not the heart of the Lord. He tells him to let his people go, for if he refused to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. And all the livestock of Egypt died, but the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Moses is warning Pharaoh again. This is time number 5. And yet what does Pharaoh do? He hardens his heart. I mean, here's what you see when we're truly trying to be courageous warriors. We have to warn the unrepentant repeatedly. Why? Because we love them. A courageous warrior warns the unrepentant repeatedly. A second challenge is a courageous warrior watches the unrepentant suffer needlessly. All right, now it's getting personal. Now they got boils, these oozing, painful sores that look disgusting, that feel disgusting. And the reason is because God is judging Egypt for not releasing His people. God's saying, let my people go so that they may come worship me. If you don't, I'm going to continue to send pestilence and pain your way. Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. He's heard it over and over and over. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have then been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain in order to show my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth, still you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. Here's what God is saying through Moses. Had I wanted to, I could have killed you and your whole nation a long time ago. I'm doing this because I'm gonna make my power known, and I'm gonna do this because my people are gonna come out and serve me. In other words, I think God was saying this. We can do this the easy way, or the hard way. Either way, I'm gonna be glorified as the God of the universe. Either way, my people are coming out. I could have brought them out a long time ago and killed you, but I'm doing this in hopes that you will repent. But make no mistake about it, my will be done. That's what he's saying. Now, God says that to each one of us too. Make no mistake about it, there's punishment for your sin in an eternal hell. I will get my glory that way, but that's not my desire. My desire is that you would turn to me. My desire is that you'd come to me, because you're missing out on the very life that I'm offering, the very reason you were created. See, when we watch the unrepentant suffer needlessly, it's really hard. It takes great courage to continue to pray for and witness to a group of people that are suffering needlessly. Now, when you think about this plague of the boils, here's what you can be aware of. There was an Egyptian god, his name was Sekhmet, who was the warrior goddess as well as the goddess of healing, and she's depicted as a lioness. She's the warrior who heals. What does our Bible tell us? It tells us that Jesus is the Lion of Judah and Jesus is the warrior God who's our healer, right? What was he making fun of? Your God can't heal you from boils. I can. I'm the warrior God that heals. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. He was showing that only he had the power to heal. Let me give you a third challenge of being a courageous warrior, and it's this. A courageous warrior witnesses the unrepentant reject God willingly. Apostasy is a willful rejection of the fullness of Christ's lordship. From people that you would say, I know they're a Christian because they accepted Christ. We've been in Bible study together. They're all this. But that's not what the Bible teaches. When you see someone walk away, here's what the Bible would say. 1 John 2 and verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out from us so that it would be shown that they are not really of us. And it will be an incredibly rude awakening when you know all the facts, but you've never applied them to your life, to hear our glorious Lord say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Friends, this is serious, because there is false gospel being taught throughout the entire globe, where there are people even that attend church that don't realize that the lordship of Christ is primary to your salvation and primary to your ongoing growth in Christ. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must truly understand that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And it's so hard to witness the unrepentant reject God willingly time and time again. Exodus chapter 9, starting in verse 18, we're gonna see the seventh plague. It's a plague of hail. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail, such as not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. In other words, God's saying, I control the weather. I'm gonna be the weatherman here, and you've never seen hail like this. Now, therefore, send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home when the hail comes down on them will die. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and livestock flee into the houses. So Pharaoh's got some people on his inner circle like, dude, I don't care what Pharaoh's saying. This dude is for real. It's so bad. Notice verse 27. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. He's repenting, isn't he? Isn't he? He said it. He seemingly is repenting, but let's see if he is. He says, make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. God's righteous, I'm not. We're wrong, he's right. Relent, we'll let you go. This is over. Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I'll spread my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will be no hail any longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Now it tells us about the damage here. It says, now the flax and barley were completely ruined, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in the bud, but the wheat and the spelt, those are the ones that sprouted later, were not ruined, for they ripened late. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and rain no longer poured on the earth. So you would think, okay, now we're gonna see Pharaoh do his thing. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, what did he do? He sinned again and hardened his hearts, he and his servants. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. So just because he spoke, he was repentant. Was he repentant? Lip service means nothing when it comes to repentance. Behavior over time describes whether your words mean anything. I trusted Jesus. What difference has it made? I trusted Jesus. What difference? You're still an alcoholic. You're still a drunk. You still beat your wife. You still sleep around. You're not a Christian, right? If you're truly born again, your life will change. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Let me give you a fourth challenge. A fourth challenge of being a courageous warrior for Christ is this: a courageous warrior wishes the unrepentant would respond immediately. I mean, you can hear it in Moses' voice, like, let my people go that they may serve me. Like, now, today, can we be done with this? I don't want to keep coming to you. You don't want to keep experiencing this. That's what he wants. But notice there's going to be an eighth plague. It's a plague of the locusts. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart in the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Why does God do the things he does in a generation? So we can tell our kids and our grandkids about him. Do you have stories that you can tell about the goodness of God? Do you share those stories with your children? Do you tell them what it is? My kids know that the only reason we moved to Denver, Colorado was to plant a church, and we tell story after story after story of look what God has done and look at what he's doing and this is why we're here. Do you see how real our God is? That's what we're called to do with our children. Tell them stories about the goodness of God. When you see them, tell them. That's what he's saying. So that's it. Verse 3, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. Here's the question. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? How long is this going to go on, Pharaoh? That's my question to you. Let my people go that they may serve me. Eighth verse, same as the first. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. Now we're going to have locusts. They shall cover the surface of the land so that no one will be able to see the land. They will also eat the rest of what has escaped, what is left to you from the hail, and they will eat every tree which sprouts for you out of the field. Then your houses shall be filled, and the houses of your servants, and the house of all the Egyptians, something which neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day they came upon the earth until this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. He said, you think it's been bad? It's only going to get worse. I'm going to send locusts. Locusts are going to eat the remaining things that the hail didn't damage. They're going to be all over your house, and they're going to eat everything. Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long will this man be a snare to us? Do you see what's going on here? Moses is asking the question, how long will you refuse to humble yourself and repent? They're asking the question, how long is this person going to be a pain in our backside? Can't stand this. Why? Because they're not repentant. They're not seeing the gift that Moses was being to them. Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed? I mean, even Pharaoh's people are like, we think he's an idiot too, but let him go. Our whole nation has completely crumbled because just get him out of here. Do you not see what's going on? I mean, come on, Pharaoh. His advisors are telling him to do this. So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? Has Moses been clear who's going? Moses has been clear that everybody's going and all of our animals are going. We're taking a 3-day journey into the wilderness. But what do unrepentant people do? They want to change the plan, right? They want to change it. No, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to do it my way. Moses said, we shall go out with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We shall go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Then he said to them, thus may the Lord be with you if I ever let you and your little ones go. Take heed, for evil is in your mind. Not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire. So they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. He says, we got to take everybody, the men, women, boys, and girls. We got to take all the livestock. He's like, no, you're evil. I know what you're planning on doing. You're going to plot against me. You're not. You can take the men. No women and children, no animals. Now get out of my sight. I'm doing what you've asked me to do. That's not what God's asking him to do. Verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant of the land, even all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land that day, all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts came up all over the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. That means they're everywhere. There have never been so many locusts, nor would there ever be so many again, for they covered the surface of the whole land. Can you imagine what that would be like? Everywhere you stepped, it was crunch, buzz, everywhere. And they ate every plant of the land and the fruit of the trees that had hail left. Thus, nothing green was left on the tree or the plant, on the field, or all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hurriedly called for Moses and Aaron. Now he's in panic. I have sinned against the Lord and sinned against you. So now he's repenting, right? Because he's saying he is. No. Now, therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and make supplication to the Lord your God that he would only remove this death from me. He went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. So the Lord shifted the wind to a very strong west wind, which took up the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not one locust was left in the territory. But notice verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he did not let the sons of Israel go. Why? Because he's unrepentant. He's given lip service to the Lord. He's hardening his heart. He's given lip service to the Lord. He's hardening his heart. No matter how bad it gets, he's hardening his heart. I mean, think about all this. Now, we talked about the hail that came. I didn't explain to you that God. That God, his name was Nut, N-U-T. How'd you like to have the name Nut? Also known by various other names. She was the goddess of the sky, the cosmos, the god of mothers, astronomy in the universe. Jesus was saying when he sent the hail, I'm the God of the universe. I'm the one that causes all the natural disasters to occur. It's me. Look to me. Now, what about this locust? This was, God was mocking this Osiris. Osiris was the God of the afterlife, the dead, the resurrection, life, vegetation in ancient Egypt religion. And what God was saying is, I'm the resurrection God. I'm the only one that can give life. I'm the only one that can do this. Pharaoh's hardening his heart. Now we're going to get to the ninth plague before it gets really bad. We're going to spend time on the 10th next week, but check out this ninth plague. This ninth plague is darkness over the land. And when you see this, here's what you can understand, that the final challenge of being a courageous warrior for Christ is this, a courageous warrior withdraws from the unrepentant reluctantly. When you withdraw from the unrepentant reluctantly, you don't want to stop sharing the gospel, but comes a time where you have to. Check this out. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you. Is he repentant yet? No, he said, you can go, just don't take your flocks and herds. He's not repentant, even though it's dark. He says, therefore our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Moses said, for we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we will serve the Lord. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he was not willing to let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, now listen to what Pharaoh says. He says to Moses, get away from me, beware, do not see my face again, for in the day you see my face, you shall die. What's Pharaoh's prophecy? Get away from me, get out. I never wanna see your face again. You look at me again, I wanna make sure you die. Moses said, you're right, I shall never see your face again. Now he's gonna see Moses' face again, but Moses is saying, you're right, I'm not coming back to you on my own volition ever again. You're right, you're telling me to get out, get lost. I've done everything I can, I'm not coming back to you, right? You made a word to get away, I'm going away. There comes a time sometimes in people's lives where they'll tell you, get away from me, I don't wanna hear about your God anymore. I don't wanna hear about this, stay away from me. Here's what I've learned, you can't bully people into the kingdom. You can't beat them over the head with a Bible enough to get them saved. There comes a time where you're loving God and you're loving people and you're challenging them. If people get to a place where like, get away, I've heard enough. Stay away from me, stay away from my family, get out of my, okay. That's what you want, but I'm telling you, I'm still gonna pray for you, right? It's painful to watch the unrepentant harden their heart, isn't it? When you have to withdraw from them and you see the arrogance in them. Now this darkness, this final plague before the taking of the firstborn was significant because one of the gods in Egypt, his name was Re or Ra, R-E, was god of the sun, become one of the most important gods in ancient Egyptian religion, identified primarily with the the noonday sun. He ruled in all parts of the creative world, the sky, the earth, and the underworld. He was God of the sun. He was the God of all order. He was the God of the kings and of the sky. And here's what God was saying. I'm the God of all in all. Even your sun god that you serve, he has no power with me. In the beginning, I created light. I turned on all the lights. In Revelation, I'm going to turn them all off before I come back. I can turn the lights on and off whenever I want. I control all power in the universe. That's what he was telling Egypt. My wife called me about an hour ago and said in Castle Rock, there was a power outage. She was in complete blackness and the garage couldn't open. And I was saying, my God's more powerful than that. Can you imagine what it would be like for 3 full days to be in total darkness? You couldn't even see the hand in front of your face for 3 days. What's gonna happen to you? What's gonna happen to your house? What are looters gonna do? I mean, terror in darkness. And God's saying, I am the light of the world. I control everything. I mean, you see it over and over and over and over again where God was showing, I'm greater than any of your made up gods that you have. I'm in control of all the things that you are doing. And even when you're rejecting my servant, what are you doing? You're rejecting me. When Saul was traveling around murdering and hauling off Christians into prisons, and he comes to the Lord who he recognized on his way to Damascus, what does he hear? Saul. Saul, why are you persecuting me? What is it? Who are you, Lord? I'm not persecuting you. It's just all these weird Christians out there. When you persecute God's people, you're persecuting God. When you attack the church of Jesus, you attack Jesus. When you attack servants of Jesus, you attack Jesus. Now, it's really easy to hear this teaching and be like, what an idiot Pharaoh is. I mean, how much more did he need? If I would have seen all that, I would have repented. Have you repented? Because from the time that you were conceived and came out, God has been engineering all sorts of circumstances in your life to get you to turn from your life of sin and turn to him. I mean, to leave the sin behind. This is what you were. This is what you're leaving. Now you're going this way. It means this. If as a Christian, I still suffer a sin that way, that's no longer me. That's sin living in me. I'm confessing it. I'm repenting. I'm moving on. I'm not desiring that. I don't want that. I hate that. I'm going towards Jesus. When did that happen for you? When did you turn from your sinful lifestyle and turn to Christ? There must be a moment. There must be a time. If you can't think of one, make the time right now, right in this place that you say, I don't want to be dead in my sins anymore. I want the life of Christ in me.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and a lesson titled, A Courageous Warrior. If you'd like to take that step and invite Jesus Christ into your life, we encourage you to reach out to our team and let us know. We'd love to help you walk through any questions you might have about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can reach us with an email, hello@bravechurch.co, or pick up the phone and give us a ring at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. We look forward to connecting with you. And if you missed any part of today's message or you'd like to hear more from our current study in Exodus, visit bravemedia.online. While you're there, we invite you to join in our gospel mission to share these biblical teachings with new listeners by making a financial gift of any amount. When you give, you're taking a courageous step in helping bring the life-changing truth of God's Word to new communities across the country. And you can give your gift today by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. To send a check in the mail, write to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And before we wrap up today, we'd like to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. Visit in person at our campus in Englewood or our second campus in Westminster. No matter where you're listening from, you can always join us right from home by hopping on our weekend live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. In the meantime, if you have questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, you can email us, hello@bravechurch.co. Again, that's hello@bravechurch.co. I'm Bill Carl. That's all the time we have for now. We'll see you tomorrow. Right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.